둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Kyle, I'm so sorry I'm a few minutes late.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with It's the Interview Series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Of course, I do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. Three interviews a week at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. Don't forget to give the show a rating, leave a review. Those always help out so much. We've had some great guests on lately. Maya Hawke was just here. Caleb Folliwell from Kings of Leon. Japanese actor Tadanobu Asano. He's on Shogun. Carl Clemens Hopkins acting right now in Hacks on HBO. Joe Talbot from Idols. I had the cast of The Big Cigar on Apple TV+. Comedian Modi. Tom Bailey from the Thompson Twins. Joe Gatto from Impractical Jokers. Sebastian Bach. All just an example of what you can hear when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today catching up with my bud, Ani DeFranco, who's back with a brand new album. Unprecedented Shit is the name of this new one. It's an album that finds her working with a producer, really for the first time, and exploring electronic sounds in ways that she hadn't in the past. Ani's going to unwrap some of the heavier topics on the LP, as in the backstory of Roe v. Wade and how abortion became a political device in her song Baby Roe, and gender identity in some of the other tracks. Ani goes on to stress the importance of pop stars like Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo, Billie Eilish using their voices to activate their fans, as well as what it's been like performing on Broadway as Persephone in Hadestown. You'll hear all that and more. We're talking Unprecedented Shit. It's Kyle Meredith with Ani DeFranco.
Hello, Kyle. Nice to see you. I can actually see you.
And with a brand new record, Unprecedented Shit.
Oh, wow. You just went ahead and said it. Nice.
I don't know how to say the exclamation point instead of the I. Right.
Nor do I.
That's how that works. This is such a cool record. It's a different record. And I want to get into it, but I know I catch you in this moment, too, that you're not just promoting this record, but you're still out with Hadestown right now, right?
I am. I'm in New York doing 8 shows a week on Broadway.
So I just saw it for the first time, the traveling version.
Cool.
It came through Louisville. And I said at that point, I was like, this might be the most mind-blowingly cool production. The original, how do you say it? But, you know, because Anais wrote it, but then you were part of this original album, and now here you are again playing Persephone again. What's this experience been like returning?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real full circle journey for me. I mean, I don't know what it was. Like 10, 15 years ago, Anais sent me a cassette tape, people, of these. Yeah, she had this concept of this show that, it was a recording of her and her friends in Vermont putting on a proto version of Hadestown, and she wanted to make it into an album. So we did, and released it on Righteous Babe, and she didn't stop there. About 10 years of working and pushing and evolving it past then, it ended up on Broadway. And I agree with you, it's so cool. It's just the coolest show. It's very radical, in a subterranean way. I think it's a show that anybody can go to and enjoy, but should you choose to, go deep with it, it's kind of endless.
You're a few weeks in, you said. How long are you staying on? Do you know that yet? Is this kind of open-ended?
No, I signed up for 6 months, which I'm not sure if I will survive, but if I do, I will be here through the end of June.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it's so cool. When we saw the news, I was like, wow, what a cool little moment this is, for this whole story. So
Yeah, it's really great being a part of the show, and the part of the project once again. I actually got asked to create a theater project myself a little while ago, and so part of my reason for saying yes and coming and being a part of Hadestown on a daily basis was just because I realized I don't know anything about musicals and theater, and let me go learn how it's done and when it's done well. So I'm here partially just being a student,
well, what a cool opportunity. Most people, I don't think they can do that the same way. So what a great, little opportunity that is. So at the same time, as I mentioned, you've got this new album. And it's such, like, we've heard you do lots of different sounds through the years, and this is the next chapter of that, the next era. But how did this record start? Because I guess from what I understand, it doesn't even start in the typical way, because you're working with a producer for the first time too.
Yeah, it does really feel like the first time I've had a producer in that deep sense of like somebody sitting in the design room with me and thinking all the thoughts right down to the song order, after it's all made, and yeah, I just knew that I didn't want to be, I didn't want the buck to stop here for every last choice, because that's sort of the way I've rolled for dozens of albums over dozens of years, and I'm over it. Been there, done that. I want partners and collaboration, and I also just had this idea that I wanted to utilize the world of machines in a way that I haven't, but I've been longing to. When I make a record, because I'm not a gearhead and I don't have all these new gizmos that are out there more every day. I don't even know what they are, what they're called, or how I just go in and I play my songs in front of microphones and with my band. And so it's basically a recording of me and my band playing my songs. Maybe I overdub some stuff, but it's very much based in the old school musicians playing instruments idea of music. Now, of course, music recording has evolved well beyond that, and where musicians playing instruments is like one ingredient in how you make records now. And I've been wanting to explore all these other ways. So I was looking for a producer, a person to work with who could open up those other worlds for me and this record. And I found it in BJ Burton. He's just a complete freak who lives in a spaceship surrounded by knobs and dials. So the process was just I record the songs at home, sometimes just voice and guitar. Sometimes I would overdub this or that and send them to him. And he, a lot of these sounds over the course of the record that people think are keyboards or this or that, or that's all manipulations of my voice and guitar mostly in the hands of BJ. So
Now, did that change how you approached the actual foundation of songwriting at all?
no, not really. I mean, I think the songs came as they do in my world from, spleen to paper to the air around me. But, once I documented them and then put them in the hands of BJ, he just created these sort of new and unprecedented soundscapes, out of my organic playing.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Ani DeFranco. I love the idea of those machines too, because when you were saying that, I was thinking of like what it looked like when Pete Townshend was trying to accomplish Quadrophenia and the big computers that existed back then, or even when the Radiohead guys would be plugging in the wires on stage, to manipulate. And now we have this. I was even talking to a friend, a guitarist friend of mine who I'd played with years and years ago, like 20 years ago. And we were talking, he goes, the kids today don't even use amplifiers. And I do all these interviews and I'm like, what do you mean? Like, it didn't occur to me. It's like, no, it's a plug-in, man. It's just everybody's using plug-ins. It's like, that's
Yeah, it's crazy.
crazy.
It's all in the box. But I mean, one of the cool things about BJ, the coolest thing is his ears and his creativity. But also in terms of gear, he's one that goes well beyond plugins, and just doing it all in the computer. He has tape machines and he has all these analog synths and he has, all these different eras and kinds of gear that he employs to do his weirdness and filtering and sampling and manipulating.
Well, it was of course it's immediately evident on Baby Row, which was the first single released on this. And hearing that, first you get this like, wow, how cool does this sound? And immediately you hear those words, which has always been Ani DeFranco, give me the words. What are we talking about? What are we singing about? What are we fighting for? And I know that, this is an album that there's plenty to fight for in a time where there's plenty to fight for. Class and wealth all over this, but especially that track right there, coming out at a time. I went back and I was thinking about Play God, which you released a few years ago, which is still one of my all-time favorite tracks of yours, by the way. And I feel like this is an obvious question. Is this a continuation of that story?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's another song. A lot of songs over many years and albums for me have their seeds in books. I'm a reader and my life has been changed by books many times over. So anyway, I read this book called The Family Row by Josh Prager, and he goes way deep into the historical backstory behind Roe v. Wade. How did that happen? Who were the people and the players and the stories? And it's a really fascinating book. I think it speaks well beyond issues of women's civil rights or reproductive freedom to really American politics in general, how things changed and got manipulated. Anyway, one of the characters that you encounter in this book is the child that was born to Jane Roe, quote unquote, Norma McCorvey, who was fighting for the right to have an abortion in Texas, and then, as we know, went to the Supreme Court and finally earned the right to a legal abortion along with women everywhere. But that process took longer than the gestation of a baby. So this baby was born in the process and given up for adoption. So this baby Roe didn't know her role in history until she was an adult. Of course, the anti-choice contingent was searching for this person because they felt, okay, here's our ultimate spokesperson. Here's going to be a very compelling spokesperson for our cause. She was eventually tracked down and cornered in a parking lot, and this is how she learned about her birth mother and her role in that important moment. And anyway, compellingly, Baby Roe remains pro-choice, even though she understands her story now. So, and I feel that would be true of me too. And what I tried to put in that song that I wrote, Baby Roe, was that my thinking behind why, and my feeling, my knowing behind my understanding that this life that I'm leading in this body with this name and identity is one of so many, that consciousness, light, spirit, God, energy, soul embodies and re-embodies many, many times in many, many forms. And it's, we're not wedded to any one moment or form. Or my understanding that the interest of a fetus cannot be opposed to its mother, that they are one, that in fact, you and I right now, Kyle, are one. You know, this is the elusive truth that can elude us so much as we live in our bodies and egos. And we get very misled, I think, by life in the body. But really, we are one. And so I in that song, I just wanted to try to zoom out and look at this abortion debate and women's reproductive freedom from a wider lens, you know, a more spiritual understanding of non-duality and the unified plane of consciousness, which is really who we are and what we're doing.
I read you almost said it again, but somewhere you were talking about the song and you just said life is infinite, in fact. And I actually teared up a little bit. Not something I expected just from that line right there, because it's, you know, it's not something, it's something that's been said before. It's something I've read before, but to hear it in this context, it did, it really touched me, you know, how you presented this. And especially, you know, it's always used as a hot button issue to fundraise off of, when we know by polling that the majority of Americans are pro-choice, or at least some version of it. But for this also to come just at the same time where Arizona is doing their thing, as they tend to do, you know, you've always been poignant. And this is unfortunately just one of those times where you're right on the money with every bit of it. It's also a great song, by the way.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that Josh Prager's book speaks to very well, is that it becoming a political device, this abortion issue, was a strategy choice. It was a brainchild of certain people, and they've been at a certain time, and they've been rolling with it quite effectively since then. But prior to that time, you know, you can learn in that book about how whether you had an R or a D next to your name did not designate your stance on abortion, nor whether you were a religious person or not. You know, there was a whole coalition of ministers and rabbis who, before Roe v. Wade, formed a network to help women get safe abortions. It was very nuanced and very individual and personal how you came to this issue and how you felt about it. And it was just a very different world. And it was a political strategy and calculation to turn it into the world we live in now.
And of course, once that's put in play, you know, even though you know the nefarious reasons, as you're saying, why it's there, you have to play then, right? Like, we have to be a part of that conversation suddenly. In these ways, I do, you know, especially in election year too, and seeing big pop stars, Olivia Rodrigo, Billie Eilish, I think even Taylor, you know, are being more proactive at this moment about this, you know, to get out there. Like, it feels like that becomes extra, extra important in this year. But it's just nice to see pop stars doing that, because that wasn't always the case.
Amen, brother. I mean, speaking to young people and telling them, this is your society and this is the power that you hold for nonviolent revolution. It's called the ballot box. And if you show up and you use it, you can run things, you can change things. And, You know, I think fighting disillusionment and apathy in young people is the greatest cause we have. You know, just so artists that speak to young people, if they can convince them that voting is meaningful, I think all of humanity and life on Earth shall be saved.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Ani DeFranco.
I agree. And, you know, and looking at even some of these other songs on here, New Bible, I mean, Men Should Stand Down, Women Should Give Birth, you know, the only has two words, Mother Earth. I know I'm skimming through here, but even in the Knowing, you know, I did want to ask about that. You know, harness the power of identity without being limited by it. Could you talk more about that? I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of connected with what we were talking about a minute ago of who are we really? You know, we think we're this identity in this story that we construct elaborately, and then we, you know, tribalize based upon that, and we find us and we find them and we play out these dramas. But when we die, for instance, when we reintegrate, we shed all of that and we go, oh, wait, there's no us, there's no them. It's all us, you know. And us supersedes the human species consciousness. We are all one organism here on this planet, in this universe. So I guess, you know, in a few songs on this record, or, you know, there's sort of these interlocking themes that run through the songs and the journey of it. And yeah, I just wanted to speak to this idea of identity, which we are so invested in now, I think, culturally, and, you know, especially with young people and their lives, their two-dimensional screen-based lives. You know, identity has become preeminent, you know, the construction of it, the performance of it, the everything. It's like a full-time job now to establish exactly what you want to be called, and all the adjectives and all the descriptors. And what, you know, as a child of the 70s, you know, I recognize that identity politics are certainly were and still in many senses essential for liberation, for understanding who you are and where you fit, and finding your community. But I guess I also wonder and see now that it can become the cage itself. You know, what was the ball that started rolling to liberate us, to bring the diversity into the discourse, you know, also can become the cage itself, you know, if we're not careful. So I guess, you know, in a lot of ways on this record, I'm just speaking to that, like, use identity and adjectives and descriptors, but don't be used by them.
To quote a couple more of your lyrics, I have beliefs that might change, which is important that a person knows when to grow and how to grow. And then when you say, I am not my body, I am not my mind, and the things at hand, it's not a question. I'm just telling you, like, I love how you paint that. I love what these songs say. And as usual, I do think they're important for the conversation.
Well, thank you. Thank you for really listening. It makes me really happy that you're picking up on those things that I'm trying to speak to, you know, because I just feel so deeply about having us all step back and take a breath together and recognize ourselves in each other, and the incredible vast unity that it really underlies all of it.
And you can dance to it.
And you can dance to it, baby.
I should say that it's a fun record. I mean, these are cool. Heavy topics. These are heavy songs. It's a very fun record to listen to at the same time.
Oh, love it. Yeah, great. I mean, that's great. I've done my job.
Congrats on this. I love talking to you so much every single time. Thank you so much for taking the time to do it once again. And congrats on the run on Hadestown. I'm hoping to see it before you finish your run. I'll be up there in New York, I know, a couple times. So I can't wait.
Awesome. Kyle, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
My thanks to Ani. The new album is called Unprecedented Shit. I said that way too enunciated. Unprecedented shit. Thanks to Ani. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. Again, you'll get 3 new interviews sent to you every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And of course, give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired as well. And then after that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my shows featured some classics and favorites from Dusty Springfield, Joan Jett, Joy Ladekin, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, The Undertones, Over the Rhine, Dave Matthews Band, Martin English, The Hives, David Bowie, Crowded House, Rufus Wainwright, Hozier, The Marías, Cracker, Air, The High Llamas, The Decemberists, Travis, Bill Withers, Bruce Springsteen, Maggie Rogers, White Reaper, Johnny Cash, and my interview with Skeet Ulrich as we talked about his new show Parrish on AMC and, of course, portraying Billy Loomis in the Scream series. Just an example of what you can hear every weeknight, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. And I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Oh, yes. No, did you go? Did you pee? Yeah.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.